Some day, Kalin thought, some fortunate woman would have her hands full with this one. I'm glad the good spirits watched over you, and you are with me. He narrowed his eyes as he peered at her.
I do not know what happened, but I think Prindon missed my throat because you were watching over me, too.
She only grinned. When she looked to the body, her grin withered. She stroked the fur of her mantle.
Poor Tossit. He loved his brother. I'll miss him.
Shandalin glanced to the body.
I have known them since they were young boys. They both followed me around, begging me to teach them, begging to be one of my men.
He hung his head in silence. Finally, he returned his attention to her.
The men are worried greatly about you. They are waiting.
Kalin followed as he crawled out on his knees and one hand. She dragged the sword with her. Outside, in the light, there was a sudden rustle of sound as men rose to their feet. Captain Ryan rushed forward, but a big man with one arm in a sling thrust his good arm across the captain's chest, stopping him cold. He held a monstrous war axe in his fist.
Orsk? You are alive too?
His eyes were red from weeping. Kalin remembered the way her father had wept when her mother, his mistress, was ill.
Mistress!
Tears sprang anew to his eyes.
You are well. What do you wish?
Orsk, these men are all my friends. None of them will hurt me. You do not need to keep them away. I'm safe. It would please me if you just sat quietly for now.
Instantly, he flopped to the ground. Kalin gave a questioning frown to Shandalin. Shandalin shrugged.
I saw him fight to protect you, and Prindon wanted to kill him, so I gave him Kwasindo. The men dug the arrow from his back. I am not sure how badly he is hurt. He has no interest in his wound, only in you. I was only able to keep him out of the shelter by telling him you needed to be left alone or you might not recover, but he would not leave this spot as long as you are inside.
Kalin sighed as she gazed at the grisly face staring silently up at her. She could hardly stand to look at the jagged white scar and the one eye that was sewn shut. She returned her attention to an impatient Captain Ryan and the hundreds of faces behind him.
How goes the war?
The war? Dash the war! Are you all right? You had us scared to death!
He cast a hot glance at Shandalin and then at Orsk sitting in the snow.
These two wouldn't even let me have a peek at you to see how you were.
That's their job,
Kalin said. She gave them a warm smile.
Thank you all for your concern. Shandalin has saved me. Well, what happened? This place was a mess. The dozen men I left here were slaughtered. By a Troga. Prindon and Tossadin are dead, and there were dead men of the Order. We feared they killed you.
Kalin realized Shandalin had told them nothing.
One of the dead men, off in that direction, is General Riggs of the Imperial Order. Orsk here,
she pointed down to the one-eyed man,
killed most of the men of the Order. They came here to get me. Prindon killed our guards and his brother, and he tried to kill me.
Whispers and gasps spread among the men. Captain Ryan's eyes looked like they would pop from his head.
Prindon? Not Prindon. Dear spirits, why?
She waited until silence settled over the men. She spoke in a quiet tone.
Prindon was a baneling.
Stunned silence was all she heard for a moment, and then the worried whispers of baneling spread back through the ranks.
You men are doing a fine job, but now you must fight on without me. I must get to Adendrill.
Disappointed murmurs filled the air.
I would not leave you if I did not know you were up to the task. You have all proven your worth and your heart in battle. You are men the equal of any.
The men stood a little taller. They listened intently to her, as if hearing their general.
I am proud of each and every one of you. You are heroes of the Midlands. This army of the Imperial Order, threat though it is representative of a larger threat to the Midlands, to the world of the living. That the Keeper would send a baneling to stop me is proof of that. I believe the Imperial Order is aligned with the Keeper. I must now turn my attention to this threat. I know you will fight on as you have sworn and show the enemy no quarter. I know the days of the Order are numbered.
Kalin realized that her neck didn't hurt. She touched her fingers to the bite. It was gone. Suddenly she felt that perhaps she had escaped the Keeper's grasp in more ways than one. With a serious demeanor, she regarded the young faces that intently watched her.
Though you will fight on without quarter, you must not let yourselves become what you are fighting. The enemy fights to kill and to enslave. You fight for life and freedom. Keep that always uppermost in your hearts. Do not let yourselves become what you hate. I know how easy it is to do. It almost happened to me.
Kaelin put a fist into the air.
I promise to never forget a one of you. Promise me that when this is finished, both the threat from the Imperial Order and the threat from the Keeper, that you will one day all come to Aiden Drill so the Midlands may honor your sacrifice.
The men all lifted a fist in pledge. A cheer went up.
Captain Ryan, please tell the men at the other camps my words. I wish I could speak to them all myself, but I must leave at once.
He assured her it would be done. Kaelin lifted the sword in both hands, holding it out. King Wyborn wielded this sword in battle to protect his land. The Mother Confessor has wielded it in defense of the Midlands. I now place it in capable hands. Captain Ryan's fingers carefully lifted the sword from hers. He held it as if holding the crown of Galia itself. A beaming grin lit his face.
I will carry it with pride, Mother Confessor. Thank you for everything you have taught us. When you first found us, we were boys. Thank you for making us into men. You have taught us not only to fight better, but more importantly, what it means to be soldiers and to be protectors of the Midlands.
He took the hilt in his fist and held the sword skyward as he turned to his men.
Three cheers for the Mother Confessor!
As she listened to the three wild cheers, Kaelin realized that in all her life she had never heard anyone cheer the Mother Confessor before. She had to strain to keep her surprise from showing. She lifted a kiss on her fingers and thanked them all.
Captain Ryan, I wish to take Nick, and I will need two other horses also.
Chandelin lurched forward.
Now, why do you need horses?
She lifted an eyebrow to him.
Chandelin, I have an arrow wound in my leg. I can hardly stand, much less walk. I need to ride if I'm to get to Aiden Drill. I hope you do not think me weak because of it.
His brow knotted up.
Well, no. Of course you cannot be expected to walk.
His eyes turned angry again.
But why do you want two other horses?
If I ride, you must too.
Chandelin does not need to ride. I am strong.
She leaned close and spoke in his tongue.
Chandelin, I know the Mud People do not ride horses. I would not expect you would know how. I will teach you. You will do fine. When you return to your people, you will have a new skill that none of them have. They will be impressed. The women will see that you are brave.
He grunted suspiciously as he scowled.
Then why do we need the third horse?
We're taking Orsk.
What?
Kaelin shrugged.
You can't draw a bow until your arm recovers. How will you protect me? Orsk can wield an axe with his one good arm, and you can throw a spear with yours.
He rolled his eyes.
I am not going to be able to talk you out of this, am I?
No,
she said with a small smile.
Now, we better get our things and be on our way.
Kaelin surveyed the men one last time. Her men. She gave them a salute of her fist to her heart. They all silently returned the salute. She had lost much with these men. She had gained much.
Take care, each and every one of you.
Chapter 48.
So, when are we going to meet your people, the ones who will guide Sister Verna and me to the palace?
Duchailu glanced back over her shoulder, pulling her mass of black hair out of the way to peer at him. She was leading her horse. Richard had grown tired of her complaints, and when she finally refused to ride any longer, he decided not to make an issue of it and let her walk. Richard had decided to walk for a while himself. Sister Verna rode behind them, watching Duchailu like an owl from atop her horse.
Soon. Her cool, distant expression disturbed him. Very soon.
Her attitude had slowly changed since they had left the Majendai land as they went deeper into hers. She was no longer chatty and open, but had grown haughty and distant. Sister Verna rarely took her eyes from Duchailu, and Duchailu, in turn, didn't miss a move the sister made. They were like two cats with their fur standing on end, silent and still, but ready to spring. It wouldn't have surprised him if soon he saw their teeth bared. Richard had the feeling the two of them were constantly testing each other, but in ways he couldn't see. By the sister's attitude, he didn't think she was pleased about what she was discovering. Richard could tell, from experience, when the sister was touching her hand. He recognized the shroud of it in her eyes. She was touching it now. In the gathering darkness, Duchailu turned abruptly from the wide forest trail, leading them on a narrow path through the thick, tangled growth. Dark water holding dense thickets of reeds and broad-leafed plants with pink and yellow trumpet-shaped flowers lurked to the sides. Richard's eyes scanned the shadows among the trees. Duchailu came to a halt at the edge of a sandy, open area. She lifted the reins of her horse to Richard.
The others will join us in this place. Wait here, magic man.
The term she used to address him lifted his hackles. He took the reins.
Richard, my name is Richard. I'm the one who saved your neck, remember?
Duchailu looked at him thoughtfully.
Please don't ever think I do not appreciate what you have done for me, for my people. Your kindness will be always in my heart.
Her eyes seemed to go out of focus, and her voice softened with regret.
But you are still a magic man.
Her back straightened.
Wait here.
She turned and disappeared into the forest around the clearing. Richard stood watching her vanish as Sister Verna dismounted. She took the reins to all three horses.
She's going to try to kill you now, she said,
as if telling him that she thought it would rain tomorrow. Richard glared at her.
I saved her life.
Sister Verna started leading the horses to the trees.
You are a magic man to these people. They kill magic men.
Richard didn't want to believe her, but he did.
Then use your hand to prevent it, sister, to preserve life, as you told Duchailu she should do with her new child.
Sister Verna stroked her horse's chin.
She has use of her hand, too. That's why the sisters have always avoided these people. Some of them can use their hand, but in a way we don't understand.